Welcome to episode 10 of the Acuity Magazine podcast. When it comes to retirement, you should get excited. This episode is sponsored by Accountancy Insurance, providers of Audit Shield, the preeminent tax audit insurance solution for accountants in Australia and New Zealand. I'm your host, Mike Lynch.
And I'm your co-host, Kylie Kwong, filling in for Lisa Janto. On today's episode, retirement is considered by most of us as something that just happens at the end of our working life. But it doesn't have to be. It can be a time of living by the sea or ticking off your bucket list. It's all up to you. A little preparation and a planning now can make all the difference. Claire McKay is a director and head of advice at Quantum Financial, and she joins us in the studio.
Claire, welcome to the Acuity Podcast.
Thank you very much. Very exciting.
We all talk about retirement. Some of us really kind of don't want to think about it. What are some of the important considerations we need to make? What's the ideal retirement plan that we should have in place?
Well, putting your head in the sand and hoping that it'll just take care of itself is not the ideal. In fact, that's not a plan at all. I like to get people excited about what retirement means to them, because if you can start visualizing what your retirement looks like, you become more motivated to put a plan in place to make that more realistic. So I'm a big believer it's never too late to start, it's never too early, but if you can have a feeling and an idea of what it looks like, you can get excited about it, and you can start making possibly some hard decisions now to make it a really wonderful dream retirement that you actually want.
What are some of those ideal plans that we should be thinking about now? What are some of the fundamental pieces that we need to have in place in order to have that ideal retirement?
Well, the big thing is having the money.
Yeah.
It's always how much is enough and how long will it last. And so having an idea of what your dream retirement looks like means that you can start putting some numbers around that. How much does it actually cost? Because the biggest challenge in approaching retirement and actually starting retirement is that you don't have that regular paycheck coming in anymore. And that is a huge mental shift. And knowing that you've done all the hard yards to get the pile of gold ready to be able to sustain you through retirement. So making those hard decisions to put money away in the various tax incentivized schemes to encourage you to save for retirement is really important. In Australia, we have superannuation, we have KiwiSavers in New Zealand, there's pension funds all around the world that are encouraging you to save for your future. What I do know is that for most people, relying on the government to support your dream retirement is not the dream you want.
So is there a magic number, a certain figure? How much money do you think we need to retire these days?
Well, it's always how much is enough. And that's a great question, Kylie, because that is dependent on every individual. You know, I've got clients who have a certain number and other clients who have a completely different number. And it's about what is your right number. So we use as a rule of thumb in Australia, a comfortable couple in retirement in a major capital city is $60,000. Now, that's not actually a lot. That doesn't mean you can go traveling overseas every year. That doesn't mean you can get a new car every couple of years. You know, you break it down and you know, there's a lot that goes on basic living expenses. So if you want to have those more regular overseas travels or more luxuries in your retirement, then you need to start budgeting what that number is. Once you know what the annual amount is, then you can do some calculations to work out what a lump sum will support that.
Do we have an idea of what ideally we should have in the bank to have a comfortable retirement?
The big one is no debt. So if you've got a home mortgage, you really want to make sure that that's paid off before you retire. Because with the absence of a regular income, having debt and paying off debt in retirement is eating into your retirement savings. So that's an absolute essential to be sure that you don't have any debt. And I'm talking about the home mortgage, but of course, credit cards, personal loans, all those other horrible, really expensive debts. We don't want any of those either. But then it comes down to what is your lifestyle? I don't think that, you know, it's about, well, what is it that, how much does it cost you to live and have the lifestyle you want? And I'd love to have a magic number that everyone can use, but that depends on where you live and what your lifestyle is. So, you know, in Australia, it's been bandied around, you know, $1 million, but $1 million for some people would be more than enough. And for others, it would be barely merely covering costs. It really depends on your circumstances and who you and what you want.
You talked a little bit earlier about we're all in these retirement plans. We tend to put money into these plans. They come out of our pay, and Is that something we should solely depend on, or do we kind of really need to step up and be more aggressive with our retirement?
Well, the big thing is that in Australia, we have 9.5% of our salary every pay cycle being taken and put into our retirement savings for us. So that's mandatory and you don't have to think about it. And if all you do is rely on that, then you probably won't have enough. Yeah, I can see your face, Kylie. It's not a good look. And the thing is that we know the study, you know, it was planned originally to get up to 12% and we haven't got there because of the political situation. But if you're purely relying on that, you will definitely be relying on the age pension. And it depends on what your lifestyle is, yeah? So by encourage, you know, there's other incentives to encourage you to put more of your money into your savings, into your retirement savings, which helps encourage people to do so. The other concern we have is obviously the system keeps changing. So if you have a lack of confidence in the system, you're less likely to engage in it. But with almost 10% of your salary going off into these retirement funds, you really should know, you know, that's a big chunk of your annual salary, and you really should know what it's doing. And therefore, once you get excited about what it can fund, you start becoming more involved and wanting to increase it through your additional savings as well.
What are simple ways, and is it hard, or is it as simple as logging in, having a look at your account, seeing where it goes and what you can do about it?
Those are great examples, Kylie. I think that for a lot of people, they just don't know. And if they've changed employers, they've forgotten how many accounts they have. So knowing where your money is, maybe considering consolidating them into one fund so you're not paying duplicated fees. And these days, then the smart and savvy funds are saying, if you keep going the way you're going, this is what it's going to look like when you're 65. Now, the other thing is we know that we're all living longer. You know, the retirement age for the age pension is going up to, you know, it's currently 65, it's going up to 67. But we know that more and more Australians are going to be hitting age 100. And your retirement savings have to last a long time. So the other thing is, well, how long do you want to keep working? How long can you keep working, depending on your own occupation? But also, is this expectation of maybe working a little bit longer to ensure that you have the more comfortable lifestyle in retirement?
And we've seen a lot of that, haven't we, that people are forced in a situation that they have to work well past what is considered the retirement age, or was considered the retirement age.
Yeah, Michael, and I think that that's the sad thing, when people are forced to do something that they either don't enjoy or can no longer do. So that's having the confidence and having the choices. So making decisions about putting money into your retirement funds and paying off your debt early, they are giving you choices later in life. There's nothing worse than feeling that you're dragging yourself to a job because you have to, because you know you can't afford not to.
We talked about the financial pressures that are currently going on and the changes in policy. Is the system becoming more of to retire comfortably, a division between the have and have nots?
Well, it's certainly a division between those who have their own home and those who don't. So again, when I mentioned about debt, the other thing is about home ownership. That gives you security. And owning your place means that less of your savings are going into funding your accommodation costs. So the haves and have-nots across our society, there is getting a bigger divide with the property discussion that we're having here in Australia, but also the idea that majority of Australians still rely on some form of government support in retirement, and that's not going to change anytime soon. But the more you can put aside, the more comfortable, the more confidence you have in relation to where you live, your healthcare options, the quality of lifestyle you have in retirement. And I think that the policy discussions are certainly addressing that. But I know there's been a lot of inquiries into particularly more vulnerable people in our society. For example, older women who on average have less savings, earn less overall, and therefore have less savings in retirement. And so particularly for more vulnerable people in our society, there does need to be a discussion in the policy arena around what we as a society are doing about that.
So for younger women, is there anything that we can do right now to avoid that?
Well, my father always said to me, a man is not a plan, Kylie. So absolutely. I think it is beholden, you know, where you're successful, savvy, you know, career women who are good at their jobs and taking that same enthusiasm and fabulousness into your financial affairs. So knowing exactly where your money is, making a decision about whether maybe putting a little bit more into your retirement savings, and that might give you some tax advantages. But also just knowing where your money is and, you know, being aware of not just yourself today, but Kylie in 15 years' time and what Kylie in 15 years' time wants to be doing with her life. And that takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of organization. So there are lots of little things you can do now that put you in a really great financial position in the future.
So what are some of the practical things that we can do now, practical tips, that if we know we're going to fall short of our goals, what can we start doing now?
Well, I hate to say it, but the dreaded word that everyone, it's a bit like, you know, diets or, you know, exercise in that world, it's budgeting. You can't get away from it, because if you're trying to work out how much it's going to cost you to live in retirement, you need to know how much it costs you now. So understanding how you spend your money now means you can identify where you can make some savings, or you can identify where you can put a little bit more into your retirement. For younger women, obviously, there's also that recognition that you might be out of the workforce for a period because you're raising a family. And so the decisions there with you and your partner around how you as a family arrange your financial affairs as well. So again, a little bit more, those little things, you know, we all joke about the avocado on toast or the coffee of an afternoon, but those little things, it's a mental shift. And it represents how you look at your money. And if you do the mathematics on how many hours you work a day and what's your hourly rate, it's quite depressing, really. But if you're smart about it, you actually see that as an opportunity, and it sets you up for the future. So those little things that we all sort of scoff about are absolutely essential.
Well, so what about inheritance? Should we be having conversations with our parents about getting it earlier? Does it make a difference?
Well, a lot of my clients are a little bit older, and they all, you know, the big things that they're worried about are, do we have enough? Will it last? What about our kids? So your parents are worried about you already. What I say to my clients in that demographic is, if you look after your kids to the detriment of yourself, they will end up having to look after you. So having a discussion with your family, if they are in a fortunate position to be able to give you some form of financial assistance, is great, but not everyone has that. And I think that has to be a really delicate conversation you have to have in your family, particularly if you're not the only child. You know, there has to be an element of equity. The other thing is that when I say to my clients who are older, if they are going to provide financial assistance to their children, there has to be some controls around that. So it's a, you know, matching dollar for dollar. So there's incentivizing the kids to actually, you know, put a bit of effort in. The other idea is make sure that it's structured appropriately. So it may not be a gift, but it may be structured more as a loan. So that, again, there is that element that you're not taking advantage of your family. You know, you pay the bank, you pay your mobile phone bills. Your parents should not be put at the bottom of that list because they've been in a position to be able to assist you financially. And the other thing is, if you're in a relationship and your parents have assisted you, that provides an element of protection for the family if that relationship doesn't survive. And again, that's being open about what happens these days in relationships and in money. And I think the other overlay is that be aware of the personalities involved. I think that the old saying, family, friends and money sometimes don't mix. And being aware that just because you think that your family might have the resources and you think that they might be open to it, they may decide not to, and that should be okay. Your relationship as a family is far more important than any financial overlay. That's my view anyway.
We talked a bit about, you know, having the family home as security for the future. And we've seen specifically in Sydney and in other countries, housing prices going well out of the reach. I doubt that my daughter will be able to buy a house in the future. I hope she does. Is it realistic that not only should we be planning for retirement through salary sacrifice or whatever those plans that we put together, should we also be thinking about how we generate income while we're in retirement?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point of the pot of gold. And I use the term pot of gold loosely because it's not like we've got gold sitting under the bed.
We wish.
It is about having financial assets or assets of any that are giving you the regular income and that are growing in value to support you. Because a lot of people are looking at 30 years plus in retirement. That's a long time. That's as long as your working career. So constructing a portfolio to support that, and a combination of shares, a combination of property, there are lots of ways of constructing that portfolio. What I would say about your daughter, and a lot of people who are looking at the property market at the moment, is that my parents didn't buy the big family home first up, and they didn't buy necessarily in the suburb they first wanted to buy in. And there is that idea that maybe what we are seeking and what we can afford are two different things. And there might be an adjustment there to, yes, you can buy a property, but you are choosing not to buy a property in a place that you don't want to live. And that's fine. But being aware of those decisions that you're making, I think that there is an element there that needs to be addressed. And also, you know, what you're wanting, which your parents took maybe 10, 15 years to get, you want on day one, is slightly unrealistic as well.
So how do you know the right person to speak to? There's so many financial professionals and accountants. Who's really the right person to guide you? And I guess there's so many current market retirement plans out there. Can we depend solely on these? So can you do it yourself and not seek professional advice?
I'm a big believer that everyone needs a financial plan, but not everyone needs a financial planner. And I'm a financial planner. That's my job. So I do believe that you can do it yourself. Just like you can clean your house yourself and you can clean your car yourself, you can do this yourself. However, if you are going to do it yourself, you need the discipline and you need the self-awareness to make decisions that are in your best interest. Working with a professional, and I would always, you know, as a chartered accountant, I'd always be saying, look for someone with appropriate qualifications, someone with expertise, someone who has experience working with people like you. They are giving you that guidance, that discipline, and they are enabling you to make decisions and work in partnership with them so that you can then focus on what is actually driving your wealth, which is your career. Yeah? So you can do it yourself if you have the time, inclination and aptitude, but if you don't and you want someone to work with you in partnership, then finding someone with appropriate experience, qualifications, and of course, chartered accountants, financial planning specialist, if you're looking at doing it with a self-managed super fund, then again, looking for a chartered accountant with a self-managed super fund expertise as well. But then also making sure that you get them and they get you. There has to be a meeting of minds, both from an investment philosophy perspective, but also that your financial planner is going to be helping you create this wonderful strategy that gets you your dream retirement. But along the way, it ain't going to all be smooth sailing. And so knowing that you are partnering with someone who understands you, that you feel comfortable talking to about your concerns. I mean, I got a client who's just retired and he sent me an email at 3 a.m. saying, Claire, I'm concerned. And he was very open with his concerns. And the fact that he felt comfortable, he obviously woke up at 3 a.m. and felt comfortable sharing with me his concerns, and he's a high achiever, very successful, means that then we can have an open conversation and address that. And when things aren't so good, when things, you know, get tough with family, health issues or other concerns, that you know that that partner, that professional you've partnered with has your back, that you can focus on the things that are important, like your family, while they're looking after your finances. And when you can readjust back into engaging with it, you know that things have been going along with while you've been focusing on things that are far more important at the same time.
So is it ever too late to start thinking about that retirement plan?
Never, never. I mean, I had a client who came to me 6 months before they wanted to retire. The options we have are a little less, got to admit. There's only certain things I can do there, but it's better than saying it's all too hard and giving up. There's always things you can do to improve your situation.
Final tips about your thoughts about what people should be thinking about retirement?
Well, get excited. I really think visualizing what retirement looks like means that you are much more motivated to do the hard yards now to make it realistic. The other thing I think is that be confident that regardless of what our politicians are going to do, and they're going to see more changes in this, have a plan. If you're not having a plan, then you're relying on external forces that don't have your best interests at heart. So by taking control, and you're actually creating your own future, and that's the most exciting thing about working with people planning for retirement, because then we can then actually tick off all those achievements, that trip through Tuscany, the cruise, the long waited for cruise,
the bucket list.
They're so exciting. Yeah. They are. You can't imagine the excitement that I get as a professional seeing my clients tick those bucket list items off.
Claire, thanks for joining us on the Acuity Podcast.
Thanks, Michael.
Claire McKay is a director and head of advice at Quantum Financial.
And that concludes episode 10 of the Acuity Magazine Podcast. We encourage you to subscribe to the podcast at acuitypodcast.com or on iTunes. acuitypodcast.com is also the place where you can keep up to date with our latest interviews or view the show notes for each episode. You can also email us directly, info@acuitypodcast.com. There's lots more ahead on Acuity Podcast. Until next time, bye for now.
The Acuity Podcast is brought to you by Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand.